It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Starbucks says it will eliminate drinking straws by 2020 in an effort to cut back on plastic pollution. But our guest says the decision will have unintended consequences for people with disabilities. First, the Trump administration is no longer allowed, at least for now, to deport parents whose children were separated from them at the U.S.-Mexico border. Yesterday, a federal judge in San Diego hit the pause button on a part of the president's zero-tolerance border policy. After the administration missed a court-imposed deadline last week to reunite all kids under five with their parents, the judge said changes have to be made to ensure the other 2,600 minors are reunited with their families by July 26th. Alan Gomez is an immigration reporter for USA Today. Alan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, who does this new order apply to, this order from a judge?
It applies basically to the entirety of the federal government, but very specifically to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, who are the ones that would carry out the deportations of these parents.
And which parents will be affected by it?
Basically, every parent that's been separated from their child as part of this quote-unquote zero-tolerance policy of the Trump administration. What was happening and the reason the judge issued this order is that the judge had ordered all of the families to be reunited, but what the government was planning to do in many of these cases was reunite them for just a very brief period of time and then give the parent an option. You can either go be deported back to your home country together, or the parent could be deported alone and the child could stay in the United States and try to fight for some kind of legal status. The ACLU, who brought this lawsuit, complained that they were doing this in a very, very quick way, that there was rumors of mass deportations happening once all these reunifications happened. And the judge, I think out of just an abundance of caution, just kind of put the pause on that and said, let's give this a little bit more time. Let's give them a little bit of breathing room to make these decisions. And so we have this 1 week pause, and we should get another answer from the judge next Monday once they have a little more time to talk it out.
Is the ACLU arguing that parents need this time to try to get some kind of legal representation if they're going to apply for asylum status?
That too, yeah. I mean, it's basically just saying, you know, a couple of hours isn't enough time to sort of decide the rest of your life. There are many options available to these immigrants, and the ACLU is contending that the government isn't being totally forthcoming when it comes to all the options available to these folks. So they're trying to get all these. There's all sorts of attorneys who are trying to offer their services pro bono. Some of these immigrants do have their own counsel. And these kids, that's a whole other issue, they do have some sort of rights to some sort of protection from the Department of Health and Human Services to help them out with their cases. And basically the ACLU is saying, yes, everyone needs more than just a few hours to make these kind of decisions and needs a little bit of input from some kind of immigration attorney or somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Now, there are a lot of people still covering this story, but it's not the top headline news it was just a couple weeks ago. How many kids are still separated from their parents at this point? Do we know? Do we have a solid number?
Well, as of yesterday, the government has identified roughly 2,600 children that were separated from their parents. The first round of all this was trying to reunite children under the age of five. That ended up being 57 children, and those reunifications finished last Thursday, about 2 days after the court's deadline to reunify that first group. But now we're in the middle of this much larger group of 2,551 children between the ages of 5 and 17 that all now have to be reunited with their parents by July 26. There's a lot of hiccups along the way. These court hearings have been pretty contentious at times, with the government asking for more time and the judge being very clear that his deadlines, as he put it, were not, they were firm deadlines, not aspirational goals, and really pushing the government to make these happen and to improve the process, to speed these reunifications up, and finally leading to this sort of pause in at least the deportations. But the reunifications have to continue throughout this process.
What was the argument from the government? In this case, I think it's the Department of Health and Human Services. What were they arguing to Judge Dana Sabraw about why they wanted more time, or they wanted a later deadline?
Well, from their perspective, they're just trying to make sure that they're returning each child with a parent. You know, to hear the ACLU say, to characterize this, well, you separated them, you should be able to reunite them. And it sounds relatively simple to say, okay, we separated these two people, reunite them, hurry up, do it quick. The problem is, it's become incredibly clear throughout this lawsuit that the Trump administration never created any kind of formalized system to, you know, match up a parent who is in either ICE custody or being held in a federal prison somewhere with a child that is being held by the Department of Health and Human Services. So they had to start from scratch, and they had to start going literally case by case, going through each file to figure out which child corresponded to which parent. And then what HHS is saying and why they claim that they need more time is that they then need to take several steps to make sure that that person is the parent. So in many cases, they've been using DNA testing to ensure that that was the parent, and they've stated that at least two or three cases have shown that, no, it wasn't the parent. It was somebody who was posing to be the parent. They say that they need to do background checks on these parents that they're being ordered to reunite them with, and in several cases they found situations where the parent is now either in state or federal custody on a non-immigration criminal charge, including murder, including child abuse. So they're saying, no, we're not going to reunite them with those kind of parents. And so they say they just need time to really sort this through, to figure out that the parents really are the parents of the children, and that these parents do not pose a danger to these children. So they say that process is a time-consuming one that usually takes months when they go through it. But the judge is saying that, no, that you need to do it quickly and you need to do it effectively. And so that's why he's maintained with his deadlines.
Alan Gomez is with us, immigration reporter for USA Today, looking at a ruling from a judge stopping, at least for the moment, deportations of parents of children who are separated from their families at the U.S. border, and more generally at this story of family separation. Alan, this burst in family separation happened not as a direct policy, right, but as a consequence of this zero tolerance policy saying, hey, we're charging you with the crime if you come in at the border. Parents were charged with crimes as a consequence, separated from their kids. What's happening now? If a family comes in, are they being separated? How's that being treated with new arrivals now?
Well, the president, when faced with all the backlash from people and both sides of the aisle, what he did was he stopped the zero tolerance policy. So and basically you're right and exactly right in how you explained it. It's not that they came. It's not like the Trump administration came in and said, we're going to start just tearing apart families. What they did was. They started criminally charging everybody who illegally crosses the border. Previously, the majority of people who illegally cross the border, it's treated like a civil violation. You're ordered to appear in court. You're released until your court hearing. And so people were allowed to stay together in the U.S. while they awaited their deportation hearing. But what the Trump administration did was implementing this zero tolerance policy was deciding to charge all of them criminally, which then forces them to transfer the parents into either Bureau of Prisons facilities or adult immigration detention to sit there until their deportation hearing. And we have a series of U.S. laws and court rulings that require that children can't be in that kind of situation. So then they are separated. So what the Trump administration has said is they're going to stop those separations. They're no longer criminally charging all these parents who are coming over. So for the time being, those separations are not supposed to be happening, and we see no indication that they are. But yes, this does raise that longer term question, and it's something that Congress is definitely trying to take a look at, and especially Republicans in Congress are trying to figure out a way to, you know, deter people from coming here as families, but at the same time make sure that those families aren't separated in the manner that they have been for these last few months.
Yeah, we hear that today three Democratic senators unveiled a Reunite Act aimed at immediately reunifying all these families and then creating a permanent system of coordination among government agencies to track when, I guess, kids are separated from their parents, if and when that happens. What else is going on in Congress? What are the Republican majorities doing on this?
Well, right now, nothing. These Democrats filed this bill, and like you said, it has all sorts of mechanisms to protect these families and to make sure that these separations don't happen. One of the provisions in this bill would require the agency to, you know, just completely wipe out these DNA tests that they've collected to make sure that information isn't used later for immigration enforcement purposes. But again, these are three Democrats and three Democrats. You know, odds are that bill's not going to get very far in this Senate. And by and large, Congress has, you know, tried a couple of times over this year to kind of wade into this debate. Remember, we still have the looming issue of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. That's about 800,000 young undocumented immigrants whose futures are in limbo right now and will ultimately be decided by the Supreme Court later this year. So there's a lot of issues that are before this Congress and that require congressional action, but the last time they tried anything was several months ago. They didn't get very far, I think for most Republicans, they are more than happy to get through this election season without having to have a very long, contentious immigration debate on the floor of either chamber. So I don't really see anything coming anytime soon. We might see some efforts from Republicans to try to clean up this practice that we're seeing with family separations, but anything, the simplest of immigration laws has proven just incredibly difficult to get through this Congress or any in recent years. So I don't really see much happening over the course of the summer.
Now, we got, Alan, these 2,500 plus kids around the country, I guess, waiting for reunification, maybe by that deadline, July 26th. Where are they right now?
Well, the way it works is the Department of Health and Human Services, it's not like they have their own facilities. They contract out to a variety of shelters around the country. So those kids are spread out all over the country. But what they have been doing in the past couple of weeks is starting to pre-position some of these children to make these reunifications a little bit quicker. The government has stated that they're going to set up about 6 to 8 different, you know, sort of processing centers for these reunifications to happen. At least a couple of them will be in southern Texas. I believe one of them is going to be in Arizona, probably one in California, and maybe a couple spread out throughout the Midwest to make it easier to spread these out a little bit. But they're basically pre-positioning them not to get too far in the weeds here, but there are certain facilities that are approved for families to stay together, for children to be there as well as adults. So those are going to be the ones that are most heavily used. And the idea is that they will kind of go through these, and it'll be almost like an assembly line, just kind of, all right, reunite the parent, make sure that's the right one. Okay, here we go. All right, next one. And so that they can kind of quickly go through these. The ACLU has been requesting that they be alerted of every reunification that happens so that they can have, faith-based groups and immigration advocacy groups there standing by to help them, you know, get a hotel room when they're released or just help them get a meal or just make sure that they have some of the basic needs covered once they're released. That has proven to be a little bit of a fight in the court hearings. But I think right now they're kind of setting up that process so that it all happens at about, right, 6 to 8 different facilities to make things go as smoothly as possible.
And briefly, Alan, as we wrap up, there were concerns about the conditions kids and youth were being held in. What's the latest on that in our last minute or so?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those that, you know, a lot of members of Congress asked for and received tours of a lot of these shelters. There have been accusations that these kids have been treated almost like criminals, to hear some people who've been through it describe it. I haven't really seen any kind of lawsuit or anything definitive on that yet. So for now, I think we need a little bit more information as these kids start getting out of there and we start hearing more of their stories to determine if these facilities really were, you know, treating them well or if there's going to be some sort of follow-up investigation to see what these shelters are like moving forward.
Alan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Alan Gomez, immigration reporter at USA Today. We talked with him about a federal judge's order temporarily blocking the Trump administration from deporting parents who had been separated from their kids at the U.S.-Mexico border.